You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, rejoicing in the flow of creativity. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Right Stream and hashtag Right Stream. Thanks for listening to the Right Stream Radio Network.
Welcome to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. I am Lisa Tarvis here with our other host, my co-host, Daria Ann. Hi, Daria.
Hey, Lisa. Hi, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well this evening.
Yeah, it's a lovely, well, not so lovely Thursday, at least here. I'm sure where you are, Daria, it's lovely because it's always lovely in Florida, I guess. But here it's pretty rainy and cold and not so great, but that's all right. It's fall, so that's cool.
I was going to say, we have our own version of fall here in Florida when the humidity is greatly reduced and it's breezy, and so you still get the nice warmth and sunshine, but it's much more comfortable. So I love fall in Florida.
Yeah, that's nice. That's nice. We have a yard full of leaves. My deck is covered with leaves, and I'm waiting for them to dry off so that I can sweep them off of the deck. I'm like, okay, enough with the leaves on the deck. They're everywhere, but they're wet, and it's impossible getting those suckers off the deck when they're wet.
Yeah, that's tough, but it sounds like your house is ready for Halloween, so that part's good.
Yeah, that's true. We are.
The ground.
Yeah, we are all. I have a witch hanging in the window, like a silhouette witch. I'm right outside my office window, which is really cool. And it's like this lace pattern, and it's got like this witch, and you put a light on behind it, and it shines through, and it looks like a witch is, mixing a brew. I just love it. It's so cool. Yeah,
very
really
nice.
Cool. Yeah, so everyone, again, welcome to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, now that you've heard about my problems with leaves. I just want to tell you, you're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network, and on Right Stream we have 7 days of shows, 6 days right now, because we're looking to fill our Saturday slot. But we have Sundays with Just Believe, which is my show, that airs on 7 p.m. Mondays we have Military Monday with John D. Gresham at 1 p.m. Tuesdays we have Right Stream Tuesday with Daria Ann at 1 p.m. Wednesdays, we have SEO Strategies with Snapperhead. Thursdays, of course, Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, what you're listening to now. And Fridays, we have the Speculative Fiction Cantina with us, Evan Townsend. He airs at 6 p.m. Eastern. And so Saturdays, we're actually looking for a new show. So anybody who has any great ideas for a new show, go to rightstreamradio.com and fill out our contact form under contact, our form there, and shoot us off an email with your idea, especially if you are someone who can host the show yourself. That'd be cool. So let us know what your thoughts are. We love to get any kind of feedback about anything about the show. Other than that, I guess that's all we've got. Is there more? Did I miss something?
Well, I just wanted to add, Lisa, if anyone is interested in taking that Saturday slot as a host, we're looking for three specific areas. One would
right.
be if you are a paranormal investigator, that looks into haunted places and people and history, things like that. Not to be confused with what you do. It's not about psychic readings. If you're a paranormal investigator and would like to host a show, that would be fabulous. Or if you're a nutritionist, an expert in the areas of health and wellness, that would certainly be welcome, fitness, that kind of thing. Or what was our third category was life coaching. So we're really looking for a show that's specific to one of those three categories. So if you fit any one of those three, please contact us.
Yeah, we've narrowed it down to those three topics, which are awesome. And we're hoping to get one of those. But I think they're pretty wide, with the exception of paranormal, which is pretty, pretty dug in on specifics there. But other than that, I mean, you know, you could be a life coach in a lot of different areas. You could be, you know, a health expert, health and wellness expert in a lot of different areas. So, you know, whatever, if you're interested, absolutely go to rightstreamradio.com and let us know what you have going on and what you have to offer. And we're hoping to fill that slot in the next, hopefully, 15 to 30 days and get that moving. Tonight we're lightening things up. I don't know why I'm having trouble talking tonight. Anyway, we're going to lighten things up a little bit. We've had a very serious week or month with breast cancer awareness, with domestic violence, and with bullying, which are three of the things that are going on in October with all those awareness months. But tonight we thought we'd get a little more girly, I guess, and we're going to talk with Christy Kennedy about fashion and makeup and how to look the part, get the part. I forget what it was. It was look the part, be the part, get the part, I think. I don't know. We'll ask Christy when we get her on. But let me read Christy's bio real quick. Christy Kennedy is a women's empowerment speaker, entrepreneurial leadership coach, and a highly accomplished author. She is skilled in four areas of personal development: mindset, momentum, motivation, and potential maximization. Ms. Kennedy has a passion for helping leaders who have reached a mental plateau to turn their can'ts into cans and their dreams into plans. Her life is a testament that it is 100% possible to shift from mediocrity to magnificence, one bold action step at a time. You can find out more about Christy at ChristyKennedy.com. And Christy is spelled K-R-I-S-T-I-E, by the way. So it's ChristyKennedy.com. Christy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Sorry, I'm having trouble talking tonight. Big words are not making it, the big words. I can't get the big words out tonight. That's all right. Hopefully you guys can. You and Daria can, so that way I can just not talk too much.
Well, Christy, this is Daria. I just want to tell you, I'm thrilled. When Lisa said we were lightening it up, I thought, oh, thank goodness, because fashion is one of the things I love talking about. So I'm really happy to have you on tonight to help us look and feel our very best.
Yay, and especially since we're getting ready to go into a new year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Yeah. Out with the old, in with the new.
Hello.
Well, yeah, and speaking of that, Chris, I want to ask you, because I think I was lucky, you know, I grew up with a mom who, like, once my sister and I were old enough to wear makeup, we were not allowed to leave the house without lipstick on. You know, my great aunts and my grandmothers, everybody was always put together with their pearls and always had their hair done, and that was very important. But I noticed that, like, a lot of women today appear dated, and I wondered if you could share with us some advice for how to keep ourselves fresh and fabulous.
Yes, I would love to. And that is so common. You know, a lot of times our first teacher, you know, our first role model is going to be our mothers. And depending on whether your mother was a fashionista or not, you know, it really impacts you on your personal grooming. And I know my mother was a very hard-working woman. You know, she came from the era where she was literally picking cotton, and she's always done laborious-type jobs. So I never really saw the makeup on a daily basis. I did see her dress up, you know, for our, like, annual teas, you know, when they would dress up, pageantries. And so, you know, I had this concept initially that you only dressed up and you only put makeup on special occasions. Well, we know that that's not the case. When you talk about looking your best, feeling your best, being your best, and it's so essential that daily grooming becomes a part of your lifestyle. It's almost like going to work out at the gym. You know, if you really want to stay in shape, you consistently do it. And it's the same thing with application of makeup and clothing. So we'll get into some of that. Now, when you talk about stop being outdated, it's critical that you make sure that you create some type of spontaneity in your daily regimen. And what I mean by that is having your hair styled every 3 to 4 months based on your budget.
Yeah. That's important.
Is she there?
I'm here.
Oh, good, okay. All right.
You can interject, and I'll continue to speak on it.
Yeah, I actually find that I'm a little overdoer with the hair thing. I used to color my own hair and stuff like that. I'm 48. I've been getting gray since I was 18, so coloring my hair has just become, you know, every 3 week thing. So I make sure that I go and I have that done professionally. Once in a while I'll do my own roots, but for the most part I don't, because then I mess up my highlights. go have it done. But it's like, and then getting it cut, you know, keeping it cut. I think that's where women sometimes, I find, let it go and your ends start looking so icky. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like your ends start looking dry and uneven. And I think, even if you can't afford to do anything else with your hair, get somebody to cut those ends every so often, you know?
Yes, that's key. And we talk about presenting your best self, that creates that fresh look, even if it's not that much, but just a little adjustment. A lot of women think they have to make these radical changes. Sometimes it's just a minor shift. I tell people,
right. Shift
and shine.
Right. That's very true.
It's really true. And, you know, you mentioned the budget, Christy. It's like today we have so many options. And even growing up, my mom always bought things on sale, whether it was at a department store or a discount store. But I think a lot of people, women, have a false impression that it costs a lot of money to look your best, and it really doesn't. I mean, I shop at TJ Maxx and Bell's Outlet, which is one that I love down here in Florida, and you can still find things that complement your body. And that's another thing I want to talk about, too, is like looking your best, but dressing appropriately, I guess, for your body shape and your age and things like that. But, you know, I just find that that's kind of a cop-out, because we have so many options for lower-priced dresses and clothing that are affordable for everyone. And I think it's a shame when I see, like, attractive women who just go out in public just not looking their best, looking very sloppy. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you are spot on. I remember being in the bank one day, and a lady was literally in her pajamas. And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking something should click inside of you to say, you know what, this is just totally not appropriate. But when you get to that point, you know, when you really no longer care about how you present yourself in public, that lets me know some serious emotional issues going on with you. And you're right, you know, that's a cop-out, you know, because I always tell ladies, beauty on a budget. You don't have to spend $1 million to look like $1 million. You know, just recently, I've been traveling, so when I get on the road back, you know, to my hometown, I have an appointment with the hairstylist, and how I keep my hair maintained, I do my own perm, and I do my own color. So that was $10, you know, $5 perm, $5 color, and then my hairstylist is going to just trim me up for $10. That's $20, and I do that every 4 weeks. And I think women have to learn how to take care of themselves, so especially if you don't have, you know, extensive budget for this, you know, luxury addition in your budget, it's so critical to know how to do things yourself. And for me, I have the luxury of being a licensed esthetician, so I don't have to really go and have someone do my mani-pedi. But I think every woman should know how to groom her hands, her feet, her hair.
Yeah, right. I agree. And, you know, we said that about seeing somebody in their pajamas at the bank or wherever. You know, I've ever since they've come out with these pants that they call lounge pants, instead of pajama pants, they are pajamas, people. They are not lounge pants when you leave the house. Those are pajamas. That's what they are. It drives me crazy. People walk around. I see them at Wawa and stuff. They're in their pajamas and slippers getting coffee. I'm like, where are you going? Where are you going in that outfit? Just it's a pet peeve of mine. It kind of drives me a little nuts.
It's bad. And it kind of like seeing a woman with curlers in her hair at the bank or the grocery store.
Yeah. You don't see that as much, but, boy, I remember when I was a kid, that was common, seeing people.
It was
remember when
common.
They used big, big hard rollers, you know, that was those big hard ones that were bobby pinned into your head, and people would walk out of the house. Oh my God, my mom would have died or killed me if she would have ever seen me do anything like that. No way,
and
no way.
Too. They would have no shoes on. It was just that lax.
Yeah, it just drives me crazy. You know, tell me something that you tell us about. What do you think are some of the most common beauty challenges women have now?
A lot of ladies, they're basing their beauty on what's being presented in the media, and we know media is presenting these falsified images. A lot of things are photoshopped. We say, you know, a lot of ladies want to look like the girls in the magazine. Well, the girls in the magazine don't look like the girls in the magazine. And so, you know, everyone's really pushing plastic surgery, et cetera. You know, that's just a common now. And really, I believe that we have to get back to the place where we embrace our imperfections. Imperfection is beauty. I think that needs to be the new message, because right now women aren't embracing every part of them. I just recently had surgery at the beginning of the year, and I have 4 new scars on my abdomen. And one of my main things was when I wanted to get those tumors removed was I wanted my flat stomach back. But I wasn't asking for 4 scars to go with it. But that's now a part of who I am, and I'm just as beautiful with or without those scars. And I believe the challenge is really embracing all of themselves. I think before you start adding on, you know, whether it be the makeup to enhance, whatever you choose, that's a personal choice, but at the root of it, you have to love you, because all those things you add, you know, ladies go out of control. They get out of control when it comes to plastic surgery, and you know they're not happy internally because they've had like 50 procedures. I'm like, when are you going to stop?
Right. Yeah, it becomes an addiction. Yeah, it becomes like an addiction. I know, you know, for me, one of the things that was the most depressing thing that happened to me in my 20s was getting stretch marks from 2 pregnancies. And I got to tell you, now I look at it completely different. I look at those stretch marks, and I'm like, these are like war scars here. This is like battle scars. I earned these. I worked hard for these. My kids are now 20 and 21 years old. I'm like, I'm okay with it now. And I never used to be. You know, they used to, because it was like immediately in my 20s, there was no more bikini wearing for me, you know, because I had stretch marks. You know, and once they went, you know, my second pregnancy, my kids were 10 and a half months apart. So my second pregnancy, they even went right above my belly button. And I was like, oh, my God. Of course, they lessen over time. You know, they're not as nearly like they were before. But it's one of those things that I've had to learn to accept and deal with. You know,
that's a beautiful outlook.
Yeah, and I think that's how you have to. Same thing. I had thyroid surgery, so I ended up with this, you know, the scar across my throat. I made sure I had a plastic surgeon do the surgery and things like that. You could only do so much. I mean, if my thyroid had to come out, it had to come out, and you have to stay alive first, you know.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, at what point do you think like with the plastic surgery and stuff? Do you think most people are just trying to look younger or more perfect or both?
And each individual is going to be different, as we know. What's going to be motivating them to do it in the first place? Because, you know, I'm in the beauty industry and I hear conversations all the time. And I've heard ladies say, you know, I got my breast implant at 18, you know, as if this is the norm. You know, as you're still developing. You know, you haven't even had children. Your breast will enlarge just as a result of carrying a baby. And so to be, you know what I'm saying, in my mind, what's going on mentally? What messages have you been hearing? And what have you personally taking on that may not even be your real viewpoint? Because, like I said, it's being pushed heavily in our society. And so a lot of women feel like, well, I'll be more attractive if I'm larger. You know, you really have to find out what's really motivating you. And if it's a pure motivation, then yes, go for it. But if you're basing your self-esteem and worth on that, I personally think you should avoid it, because that's not going to solve it, because you're going to want to go larger and even more so. And we know that there have been women who've had health complications as a result of plastic surgery. So you have to ask yourself, is it really worth it?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought about that every time I thought about having something done that would be completely for, you know, just an aesthetic reason. I've thought about that, and I'm like, wow, is it really willing? Am I really willing to have the complication that ends up taking me away from my kids? Is that fair to my kids? Do I need to have this so much, that much? You know, and that's how I kind of weigh things when I think about it. But the breast implants, holy God, they are that everybody's getting breast implants. Me, I'm like, somebody take my boob. Seriously. I'm like, I'll give you some. You know, suck it out. I don't need it. You know, I do anything to make mine smaller, and everybody else is trying to make theirs bigger. So I'm, you know, I
need to talk off the screen, Lisa. I finally got to a point where I just don't care anymore, but I'm very, very small. And what you said, Lisa, reminded me of my late Aunt Marie. You know, may God rest her soul. She was my favorite aunt, and she was very well endowed in that area. And she used to say to me exactly what you're saying. She's like, Derek, if you want them, I'll give them to you. But, you know, I grew up in at home. I mentioned this before, where we were encouraged to look and feel our very best. And my mothers and my aunts and everybody always looked nice, but they also looked age appropriate too. I mean, my mom still wears makeup to this day, but she's always very appropriate. And, you know, I think that's one of the faux pas, Christy, I wanted to ask you about, because I also was a recruiter in a previous life for a large national bank down in South Florida when I lived down there. And I just used to see some of these young women come in looking like they were getting ready to go to a nightclub. And I'm thinking to myself, praying for a job at a bank. You know, part of you looked in the mirror and said, this is an appropriate outfit to go on a job interview with. So, Christy, I wondered if you coached women in that area and if you had any thoughts on that.
Yes, definitely. You know, there is daytime application of makeup and there is nighttime application, and some women aren't aware of the distinction. You know, when you do daytime wear, this is a more simple application. We're talking your nude colors, something that's not going to be so outstanding and distracting, because you really want your interviewer to be able to hear what you're saying, and you don't want them to be distracted by how you look. And we're talking nude lips. You know, we don't want to go in there with hot red lips, because they have perceptions, you know, and especially if it's a male person that's interviewing, he may form opinions that you may not be pleased with. And we don't want to go in there looking like a call girl. But even down to earrings, simple earrings, you don't want to have dangly earrings. I know there are some earrings that I wear outside of the workplace that are very fashionable, and they make lots of noise, and they would be perfect for Christmas time, you know, and to go along with jingle bells. But in the office place, you don't want anything to distract, you know, or annoy your coworkers. So, you know, especially on a first-time interview, that can be distracting. Skirts, I've been told that women who wear skirts, they're perceived as more professional, and also we are very feminine. A lot of times, you know, back in the day, it was more trendy, especially as women were climbing up the corporate ladder. They felt like they had to dress more masculine, but we basically deny who we are as women, you know, with our curves. And a lot of times, pants aren't the most flattering to our body shape and body type. And I believe also when you're going for an interview, when you think about it, women who wear skirts and makeup, studies show that they tend to earn more. So if you want to position yourself to earn more money, which a lot of women say, you know, I want to make more money, well, I believe if you look the part, you be the part, you'll get the part.
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And with makeup, too, like, I'm a huge makeup person. I love makeup. I've always worn a lot of makeup. I always have. It's just, you know, and the thing is, I say I wear a lot of makeup. It's not that I wear a lot of makeup. There are a lot of times I don't have to even wear foundation, and I'm, you know, in the summertime and stuff. It's just color. I like color. You know, I like eyeliner. I like, you know, my eyelashes to be big, things like that. But I'm noticing there's a really natural, I'm noticing, and maybe I'm just being sensitive because I have two teenage daughters that love to point out every flaw I have. I'm wondering, are you noticing that the makeup style is more natural? Are people getting away from the black eyeliner and the eye makeup? I'm seeing less and less of it.
Yeah, and this time less is more. I don't know if you know, they've been covering it on several major magazines, showing celebrities now going with a more nude look. the actress who's on Scandal. I have never seen a Scandal. There, women will probably, like, cut my hand right now. You haven't touched the remote to turn on Scandal. But the star, she's been recently on a magazine. But they are going, and a lot of times women follow celebrities, and I believe it. And Kelly Rowland was also on a magazine cover with a very nude-looking face, like, less, no makeup. And
yeah.
We know women tend to follow whatever the celebrities are doing. And celebrities are very influential. And I think it's a great move for them to show that it's okay not to have all this makeup on. You are beautiful. And when we get to that place where we promote you are enough, women will start wearing less makeup. You know, and it's okay to, you know, glam up for special occasions. But daily wear, you know, as a skincare therapist, I'm concerned about your skin. Because the more you put on, that means the greater you have to tend to it. And a lot of women don't have the discipline to cleanse their skin twice a day.
Yeah. I do it in the morning, and I do it before I go to bed, and that's like my routine. I don't do it in the middle, but again, I've got a face full of makeup on all the time. I mean, even if I'm staying home and I don't plan on seeing anybody but maybe my husband and my kids all day, I'm still wearing eyeliner. I'm still wearing mascara. I'm still wearing some kind of lip gloss. You know, I've still got something, at least my eyes done, you know, and that's just me. But anything, I remember somebody describing, I used to sell makeup, and I remember somebody when I was learning how, I was a makeup artist for years, and I remember somebody teaching me that they explained skin to me by saying that imagine driving your car around all day long and all the things that are hitting the windshield and then not washing that off. They're like, your face is like your windshield. You know, everything, all this stuff is attacking your skin, and then to not wash it off is gross. So I thought, I was like, so that's what I think about every night. You know, when you're really tired and you're like, I'm just not going to wash my face, just not tonight. I'm too tired. You know, and I sit there and I think of that windshield, and I'm like, ew, dead bugs, and, you know, pollen and all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, I got to go wash my face.
Oh, my goodness. It's just like brushing teeth. You don't go outside when I'm brushing your teeth. I hope not.
Yeah. It's just one of those things I think that you just have to do. And you know, I think it helps keep you young, you know, too, is to take care of your skin. You know, people that take care of their skin usually look a lot younger for a lot longer, you know?
Yes. Definitely.
Absolutely. So I can't do anything unless my makeup is off. I mean, I have to wash my face and do my moisturizer every night before I go to bed. I just can't sleep if I don't. It gets all over the pillowcase, and then that's really messy.
It's gross, right? That's what I think, too. It's like, oh, my God, my pillowcase is going to be covered in makeup. That's just, I don't know, not cool. I don't like it. I don't think that's good at all. But so there's a difference, obviously, makeup and clothing. I mean, you're right. I've seen so many people dressed in outfits that are definitely not work appropriate. I mean, I'm like, seriously, you're right. They look like they're on their way to a nightclub or something. What the heck is that about? You know, it would be one thing if it was their birthday and they felt really good and they wanted, you know, but for it to be like, I don't know, just a regular Wednesday, and I think it's a little weird, but I think that's same with the makeup. I guess you, like for me, I mean, I always wore makeup to work, but for me, it's always with the lipstick. I wear brighter lipstick if I'm going out someplace at night, and I always tone down the lipstick. That's where I change things. It's a very neutral lipstick if I'm just hanging around the house or if I were going to be at work or something.
Yeah, because once again, you have people making judgments within 3 seconds that they see us. You know, I've taught modeling, been in the modeling industry, and even women that were going out for different roles, and it was told to us that even in a talent agency, you literally have 3 seconds to impress that agent who's making a decision. And he's going through, if you can imagine, thousands of promo and comp cards, and he's going through, he's looking for somebody that's going to stand out. And even when they do those comp cards, they have a natural look. They don't want somebody already made up. I mean, that's why they have a makeup artist to, you know, beautify you and glam you up. But
but they want to see you in your raw state. You know, do you stand out in your raw state?
Yeah, but I don't. I mean, how many people are just look naturally amazingly beautiful? I mean, you know, that don't have to wear any. I mean, don't we see ourselves every flaw more than anyone? When I look in the mirror, I think, oh my God, there's no way I would ever leave the house without makeup. I wouldn't even go get the mail without makeup on. You know, one of the neighbors might see me. But is it that way? I mean, is that just because I see myself differently than maybe other people would see me?
I believe so, because I meet a lot of women. And I think, too, what impacts the decision is if you don't wear makeup or you've never worn makeup, you know, you don't really have anything to compare it to. Someone recently asked me, you know, would you like to order a glass of wine? And I said, I've never had it before. And so they said, you don't know what you're missing. Well, because I've never tasted it, you see what I'm saying? I don't know what it tastes like. So I have nothing to compare it to. It's the same thing for women who've never worn makeup. They don't know how much more greater they can look, you know, how much it enhances things that may not even be there. Because I know when I put makeup on women, especially with virgin eyebrows, and I sculpt their eyebrows, and they're like, whoa, like, and then they get addicted, and they don't ever want to go without having their eyebrows out. And I think what makeup does is show you all the possibilities. You know, we don't need it, but to have it, it just changes your world. You don't know what you're missing.
I agree with that. That makes a lot of sense because, you know, obviously you're right. I mean, making the wine comparison is really, really good too. Just, you know, if you've never tasted something, how would you know? But I always thought when I did makeup, and what I did was special occasion makeup. So I was always, you know, going, again, it was for weddings and proms and things like that. So people were always trying to look a little more glamorous with their makeup. But I always said that, yeah, you know, I would look, the first thing I did was look at the person and see what natural beauty that, you know, what their best qualities were about their face, about their eyes, about their lips, mm-hmm. whatever, and then try to bring that out as much as possible.
Yes. Like, for me, I don't have much eyebrow hair. I'm not a hairy person, no hair on the arms or legs. I have my mother's jeans, and my brow, they stop about midpoint. So if I did not put eyebrow powder or pencil on, I wouldn't have any eyebrows. And we know the eyebrows are the frame of the face. Before you even put any eye color on your eyelid, you need to have a frame to work with.
Tell me about this eyebrow sculpting. I've never heard of eyebrow sculpting. I mean, I get my eyebrows waxed. I do the same place I get my nails done and my pedicures. What is eyebrow sculpting? I mean, what's the difference with that?
With eyebrow sculpting, it's a more custom-designed eyebrow, whereas a lot of times you have cookie-cutter approaches. Some people can use, as you know, a template. You can draw in and do a one-brow-fits-all. But when I do a sculpt, I'm doing a consult with you, and I'm looking at your natural brow shape. And when I sculpt your brow out, your brow is going to be your natural hair pattern. It's not going to be something contrived. It's not going to be I'm taking too much hair off some design that I think you should go with. I'm talking with you, and I'm asking you, how do you want your brow? This is really very engaging, interactive. I'm finding out what my client is interested in. So it's not the artist design. It's a cooperative, you know what I'm saying, consult where we look at the brow, how was the natural pattern, and shape it based on that, not taking too much off. And I do tweezers, and I can do hair by hair with that sculpting. So I'm sculpting out, almost like Michelangelo. So I'm sculpting out this work of art.
I think tweezers are like torture. I get my eyebrows waxed, and I'm like, all right, that hurt for 1 second. And then they sit there with those tweezers, and they start pulling every little extra hair out. And I'm like, oh, my God, that hurts.
No, let me tell you, I have a technique that does not hurt. And you can ask any client that has been in my chair. A lot of individuals have been mistaught on how to tweeze. And so if they're pulling the hair the wrong way, I do a V tweezing. And so that hair, and I'm pulling the skin very taut, So you rarely feel, I mean, you may feel a little sensation, but I have clients who say, you know what, usually I can't even have a conversation when I'm getting tweezed. Oh, my gosh, I don't really feel anything. So it really does matter your technique, and a lot of individuals just have not been properly taught.
I think I might need to get myself down to Tallahassee and have Christy do my eyebrows, because now I'm like, wow, what am I missing? I don't even know about this.
Yes, it's very rare, that individual. And because I'm an esthetician, I come from a medical kind of positioning also. You know, I'm always thinking about caring for the client, the least painful measures, whereas individuals that they may have a license in doing nails, but not so much brow. So they have been teaching each other. So you have people that are improperly trained out there, and it definitely will show in the experience and the results.
Interesting. All right, let's take a quick break here. It's about 7:35, so let's take a break, and then we'll be back in just a minute with Christy Kennedy, everyone. Hold on.
You're listening. Monday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern. You're listening to the Right Stream Radio Network. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Tune in to host Daria Ann for Right Stream Tuesday. Daria Ann interviews talented authors in a variety of literary genres, from urban fantasy and historical romance to autobiography and science fiction. Right Stream Tuesday celebrates the creativity that flows through every author. It also delves into the all-important publishing and marketing aspects of writing, including the benefits and pitfalls of independent publishing versus traditional publishing, and how to effectively use social media for success. Right Stream Tuesday with Daria Ann. Tuesday afternoons at 1 o'clock Eastern on the Right Stream Radio Network. Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, tune in to Right Stream Radio Network for Just Believe with author and metaphysician Lisa Tarvis. Lisa interviews experts in the areas of health and wellness, alternative healing, paranormal phenomena, intuitive guidance, and positive living. With her own inimitable down-to-earth style, Lisa makes both guests and callers welcome and appreciated. Just Believe with Lisa Tarvis, Sunday evenings at 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central, here on the Right Stream Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Diane.
And this is Denise.
And we want to invite you to listen to the History Goes Bump podcast.
Ghost tours for the theater of the mind.
The History Goes Bump podcast. A show featuring a look at historic locations, people, and events with a twist. This history podcast is haunted. So grab your slippers, hot chocolate, flashlight, and maybe even that baseball bat, and join us.
You can find the show at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and other various podcast catchers.
Check out the website at historygoesbump.com.
Keep it spooky.
The Speculative Fiction Cantina is your weekly hypodermic injection of science fiction, fantasy, horror, alternate history, and things weird and wonderful in the world of books and writers. You'll hear from writers who bend the rules and drive the narrative. We ask authors the hard questions. We do the show in our pajamas. Join S. Evan Townsend on this journey over the rainbow and through the looking glass. The Speculative Fiction Cantina on Right Stream Radio, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Hi, everyone. We are back. You're listening to Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss with Lisa Tarvis, me, Daria DiGiovanni, on the other end, and our lovely guest, Christy Kennedy. So where were we when before we went to break? We were talking about my eyebrow, obviously having been missing out on something amazing with eyebrows. So that's now something that I've got to put on my to-do list. But I'm wondering, you know, we were talking a little bit about skincare, and what are some of your biggest tips for taking care of your skin? You know, winter's coming up. Obviously, winter's really tough on our skin. Our skin gets dry, ugh, you know, all of that. But you know, even for as you're aging, and I mean, what do you think are some of the best? What's some of the best advice you can give people to take care of their skin?
Yes, having a regular skincare regimen. Definitely. I hear myself echo. Cleansing your skin twice a day, at least. Even if you just start off, start with once a day, just to get in the habit of it. I know when I initially started working out, you know, I wasn't as disciplined as I was, you know, today. And I had to start somewhere. You be faithful over that one day and you increase. And so till you get to the point where you can do it twice a day. Now, we're coming up on the winter, and one of the areas that is most neglected are your hands and your feet, and especially the feet. You know, we talk with our hands. We communicate with our hands. And so it's easy to slack off in the wintertime, especially during the holiday seasons, because ladies are going to go out shopping for Christmas items, the decor, gifts, et cetera. You got to prepare food, and one of the first things we neglect is ourselves and our hands, and they don't. So you still want to do those mani-pedis, and if you don't have the budget for it, I strongly suggest you learn how to do it, even if it's just clipping the nails until you can go and have them clip the cuticles. Now, there is something that I like to use for my feet, and that's the lava rock. And so you can place that in your shower and the bottom of your feet, because that dry skin tends to build up, especially if you don't have a regular regimen. Or if you do it daily, you don't have to worry about the skin build up.
Yeah, I remember when you used to get pedicures and things, they would use that scraper thing on your skin, which I think has become illegal or something, because I never see it anymore. But they would, it was like a potato peeler, you know what I mean? They peeled it. Ugh, it was gross.
Not the most effective way to take care of the bottom of the skin, because you can do more damage than good, and then the skin grows back even harder. So I would definitely not recommend those, and especially some people use razors. I'm like, don't allow them to do that. Because especially they're not disinfecting properly, you know, you risk infection, et cetera, and you may lose your foot. And I say, you know, beauty should not be pain. You know, like I say, don't pain, no gain. I'm like, no, it's not worth it.
Yeah, and I think for you know, most of us, I mean, I guess it's a little different down south, but up here, you know, all winter long, from pretty much October to until you know, May, we're in socks and boots and stuff, so we don't really pay that much attention. I mean, I know I don't get nearly the amount of pedicures in the winter. I might get one before Christmas or something, you know, just as something special to do, but for the most part, you know, you don't really do that as much, because up here and where it's cold, you're not really showing, you're not wearing sandals in December, you know. So, you know, is that true everywhere, or is that just a Northeast thing or a cold weather thing?
I believe cold weather, because like you say, once again, because the feet are concealed, they're covered up, a lot of times we can neglect them, because who's going to be seeing them? But you're going to be seen. You're worth it. You're still worth the self-care. That's a message I want to promote. It's called self-care, and what you're doing is neglecting the area that is responsible for taking your body from place to place. And all we're supporting, all this weight, depending upon how much weight you have, your feet have to carry it, and you want them to be in the best condition as possible. And even I want to touch on the lotion that you use during the winter is going to be different than what you would use in the summertime. You want to use those thicker cream-based lotions because the winter cold is going to dry them out a lot faster.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's really true. And that's something, like I said, I'm really bad at, because I really don't take care of, you know, my feet nearly as well in the winter. And you know what? I'm probably, you know, it's funny because I always can tell, you know, I always say I get summer feet, you know. Mm-hmm. You know how when you first start walking outside and it's warm out and you start walking outside barefoot, which is I'm barefoot all summer long. And, you know, so I'm outside walking around, you know, my yard or something, and my feet, I'm like, everything I step on, I'm like, ow, ow, ow. And then by July, I have, like, I could walk on hot coals, and I think I'd be okay, you know? It's like something happens over the winter, because I lose, I always say in the spring, I still have my winter feet.
Oh, wow. Let me tell you, a litmus test is rub your hand over your feet, and your feet should be as smooth as a baby's bottom. If they are not, it is time to take care of them. I'm rubbing my feet right now, and they are very soft. And even you think about it, a lot of times women don't wear, it wouldn't be socks or bedroom slippers in the house. If you have hardwood floors or the kitchen floor, you know, your feet can get hardened that way as well. But even at nighttime, if you put baby oil gel on or cocoa butter, jojoba oil, whatever you desire, and then you want to insulate that foot or feet with socks and so that they get moisturization through the night. So to keep them really supple. And I think I heard you say you were married, so you don't want to cut your spouse up either. That's another motivation.
Yeah. And I'd appreciate if my spouse did the same for me. Because I gotta tell you, toenails are sharp, whether they're on a guy or on a girl, they're still sharp.
Yes, and guys need to have their feet done as well.
Yeah, that's the truth.
So you gotta do a dual party.
Right.
Florida for 20 years, and one of the benefits, because I grew up near where Lisa is, and I have very dry skin, so I love living in Florida because I used to do that, Christy, what you were talking about, you know, growing up north in the wintertime. I would slather my feet with lotion and wear the socks, you know, to bed to keep them soft. And I think being in this climate has been very helpful for that, because whenever I go to get pedicures, they're always telling me how soft my feet are. They're amazed. And I think a lot of it has to do with just living in this climate. Of course, I do take care of them.
Oh.
And that's another thing I just wanted to say, too. You know, we were talking about low-cost fashion. Oh. But, you know, even things like pedicures and manicures are pretty inexpensive now, and you can easily work that into your budget. You know, I have a friend who's a pedicure, and she told me that, you know, don't even think of that as a luxury. You should be getting your feet done every 6 weeks. If you can,
yeah.
Every month.
Yeah, it is
so
recommended.
It's not,
4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, so it's not just a beauty thing. It's actually, you know, a health thing for your feet. And in my case, I'm flat. My right foot is really flat, and I work out every day. And my friend who's a podiatrist said, you cannot go barefoot. You have to always at least have flip-flops on walking around the house, which is usually what I'm in. So, but it's just nice that we have so many choices. And I mean, I look forward to that every 6 weeks, having that. I think where I live now, it cost me $22, which is very easy to fit into a budget and so worth it.
Yes. I mean, you go to a fast food restaurant, you can easily spend that in two visits.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, because I think up here, I swear, I think they're more expensive for pedicures up here, and I don't know if it's because it's, you know, down there it's not as, you know, it's not as seasonal, and for us it's kind of a seasonal thing, you know, or it's maybe it shouldn't be, but it kind of is. But pedicures seem to be a little more up here. I've noticed that once in a while, if I can find a place that's like $25, I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing, that's so cheap, you know. And other times it's $40 or $50, you know. So
I'm always
it can be really expensive. Yep.
Yeah, we average about between 15 on the low end, $15 to $18, $18-$25. Your mid range, go to your luxury spas. You know, you're going to start at $35 and up.
Wow, that's still cheap. I mean, 35 would be, you know, I'd be happy with 35. I know I take my girls every, you know, in the summertime we go like once a month. We'll go to the nail salon that we use, and the three of us will get the three of us will get pedicures. And for the three of us, it's by the time I tip and everything, it's $100 just for pedicures. So for the three of us, it's definitely more. But you know what? It's still, I mean, to me, it's really still worth it. First of all, it's a great time I get to spend with my girls, which is cool, you know, because you don't get, you know, teenagers don't really like spending too much time with mom unless she's buying them something. So. I get that out of it, you know, and then I think it's just so, I mean, it's something I want to teach them. You know, you got to take care of yourself. You got to make yourself a priority, you know?
Yes. Yes, especially being women, because we are naturally nurturers. We're always giving. We're the caregivers. And so I believe in putting us on the calendar, and it goes back to, you know, you are worth it.
Right. And I think that probably leads us, Daria, to the final thing that I think that we want to focus on with Christy tonight, which would be, you know, people's self-esteem, you know, women that have low self-esteem. I see it all the time in my business, especially in women. I mean, I'm sure men have low self-esteem too, some of them, but women really seem to see every negative and every flaw that they have and just make it so much bigger than it needs to be. What kind of advice do you have for women like that are struggling with that?
Yes, that's key. And I was one of those women that dealt with low self-esteem. And I have to constantly watch myself talk because it can easily come back. It's like, you know, wait, if you were someone that was overweight, all of those bad habits that you had before you lost the weight, they can easily come back if you revert, you know, you regress. And so it's the same thing. It starts with self-talk. How do you believe, you know, and what do you believe about yourself? And if any of those beliefs are out of alignment with what you should be believing, positive, you know, words of affirmation, they have to constantly be fused into your mind, because you think about, we're always coming against something in society. Society's telling us, it could be a relationship. You know, even if your spouse is not telling you something, if they're tearing you down, your supervisor could beat on your self-esteem. So anything could be something that's provoking something, you know, a breakdown internally. And that's why I believe it's important that we journal and that we take time to create a space of quiet to hear what's going on within our thought processes. And so a lot of women don't even know themselves because they haven't taken the time to find out what they like, what they enjoy doing. You know, sometimes I ask women, you know, what is it that you have need of? And sometimes they can't even answer me, because they've been so focused on everyone else's needs, and that's a problem.
Yeah, it is.
It is. And I think women are naturally nurturers, and then you add to it marriage and children and you know, or family members that you have to take care of, you know, for health reasons or whatever, and it just, all of a sudden, it's amazing how quickly you can stop focusing on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a bad relationship. I mean, we did a domestic violence, you know, episode a couple weeks ago. And one of the things that we talked a lot about was that domestic violence comes in all shapes and forms, including verbal abuse, you know, and you get into a relationship where you're being told that you're nothing, that you can't survive without this person. That's their problem. That's their issue. That is not your issue. You can certainly survive without them. You know, it's a matter of, but them that are dragging you down like that is, you know, to build themselves up, to make them feel more, I think, worthy, and it doesn't have anything to do with you. And that, I think that's sad that, you know, that we get to that in relationships, but you know, it does happen.
Yes, and you're right on it. And when you think about it, do you remember the little chant we would say when we were younger? You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And words do hurt. Because I know there are some negative words that I remember from childhood. I'm 40 years old now, and I still remember being on the high school campus and them calling me carrot legs. You know, I was very skinny back then. And even in a relationship, I can remember the man saying that I was like a giraffe. I had this long neck. You know, my long neck, I love it now. You know, before it was like, oh, my gosh, this is the worst. Why this long neck? You know, I'm like a giraffe. You know, somebody put that bad seed, and we have to attack all those bad seeds and replace them with good seeds. So that's why I believe in self-affirmation. There's not a day that goes by that I don't believe something positive to build myself back up, because this world is always combating us to tear us down.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're right. I mean, you know, one of the things I teach a lot about, you know, through my work outside of this show is, you know, is about changing thought patterns, you know, to changing negative thought patterns into positive patterns, and the difference that that can make in your life. And it's very true. I mean, it can, you know, you start thinking, you replace every negative thought with something positive. So instead of looking in the mirror and thinking, oh my gosh, look at the muffin top around my waist, you know what I mean? It, replace that thought with, you know, wow, I've lost 5 pounds. Don't I look amazing? You know what I mean? Whatever, somehow making it positive, you know, about yourself.
Yes, you're honest.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I mean, I was never, you know, obese growing up, but I was always a little bit chubby and always got teased at school. I mean, there are some childhood incidences that I still can recall. I mean, I don't dwell on them, but I mean, they certainly, you know, in the course of a conversation like this, that they do come to mind that I'm just probably never going to forget. I mean, I don't let them influence my life, but
Christy,
you said something earlier that reminded me of this experience. And then when I was in college, you know, I lost the weight, but it took a while for my mindset to catch up and look in the mirror and see the way I looked after losing the 20 pounds. You know, there was still a disconnection between my mind, what I actually looked like, and my perception of what I looked like. So I can totally relate to what you're saying with that.
Yes, and you made me think about a coworker that I knew once, and she talked about that same thing, and she had lost maybe a good 100 pounds. I mean, a total drastic transformation. I'm talking, I think she was maybe size 22, and now she's like size 6, and I think she got as low as a size 4, but that was too low for her, so she was a size 6. And she said she would never get rid of the clothes when she was like a 22, because in her mind she was still a size 22. Or what if she gained that weight back? She wanted to have those clothes available.
I remember I lost 45 pounds on a diet a few years ago. And I refused to do that. I threw out all, well, I didn't throw them out. I donated them to, I donated all of the clothes that I had that were a bigger size, because I was like, you know what, the second the second I start to get uncomfortable in these jeans, I want to feel it. I don't want to go to the next size. I want to say, hey, these jeans are uncomfortable. I better do something before I'm back to needing to lose 40 pounds again. You know what I mean? So, you know, for me, I got rid of all of it. I mean, it was just, so I did the complete opposite. I wanted it all gone. I didn't want to have that fall back. You know, my yoga pants are my bloated day kind of answer to that. But, you know, other than that, that's it, you know. I'll wear the occasional yoga pants around the house. That's about it.
I love it. You made me think about a quote I love, Jim Rohn. He said, when I change, everything changes. And it does start with us. You have to make that change. And you make that change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So basically, we want, you know, do you have anything else you want to add before we end the show? Christy, you're a medical esthetician. Hey, I said that without stumbling. Medical esthetician in Tallahassee, Florida. Your website is christykennedy.com. That's K-R-I-S-T-I-E, Christy spelled with an I and an E and a K, K-R-I-S-T-I-E, kennedy.com. And I love your website, by the way. Very, very well done. Whoever did it did a fabulous job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you have anything else you want to say, or anything anything coming up that you want people to know about, anything like that?
Yes. Upcoming events are on the homepage, so I definitely want to go over that. But I do want to say, don't focus on your flaws. Embrace your fabulosity.
I like that. All right.
Fabulosity. I like that, too.
Fabulosity. Yes, that's going to be our new word, fabulosity.
Yes, Kamora Lee Simmons, at the time, I don't know if she's changed her name since then, but she has a book called Fabulosity, and she has a wonderful, wonderful collage of tips for women, beauty, and fashion. As you know, she used to be a top model. So definitely I would recommend that book for anyone who's interested in increasing and enhancing their fabulousness.
Wow, you even made it another word. That's amazing. Very well done. Very well done. Just making fabulous all over the place. Anyway, we want to thank you so much for being part of Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. We really appreciate it. I know you're super busy right now doing all kinds of things, so it was really great of you to be able to take some time to spend with us and our listeners, and I'm sure everybody got something out of tonight's show, which is very, very cool and exactly what we want to do. So thank you again.
Thank you. I enjoyed the tag team. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Christy.
Thanks, Christy. We hope to have you on again sometime. Good luck
anytime,
with everything. Yes,
lady.
Yeah, and she's and Christy is on on Twitter at Christy Y Kennedy, I believe. Right? Okay. Yeah. So follow her there. I'm following her, and I'm sure Derry, if you're not yet, you will be. So.
Oh,
we'll
get you.
we'll be tracking.
I'm smart like that.
I know you're on top of that social media stuff.
Yes, I am.
Thank you again. Thank you, ladies. Have a wonderful weekend. You too. Bye-bye. All right, everyone. That was the beautiful Christy Kennedy joining us. And you can learn more about Christy at ChristyKennedy.com. And everyone, visit her website. It's really actually... you've got to check it out, Derry, if you haven't already. It's a really cool website.
It's great.
I'm like, wow, who did that? It almost makes you want to invest in a new website, but I don't know. It's really good. It's really, really good. Anyway, so I always love a simple, clean, well-designed website. You know, I just do. I love them. I like them. They're fun. So, anything coming up for us we need to talk about, Daria, before we wrap things up for this Thursday?
Well, I just want to let everybody know that this week's Right Stream Tuesday, if you missed it, it was a really good one. You know, getting into some Halloween stuff in the last two Tuesdays in October. So I interviewed Diane Student and Denise Moormeyer of History Goes Bump. It's a fabulous new podcast and blog that really combines history, you know, real people, real history, real places, with the paranormal. And they're just doing a fantastic job, because I've learned so much about real people throughout history that you just don't learn about in school or even in Hollywood movies. And they're just doing a great job. So if you missed this week's Right Stream Tuesday, you can just, you know, we have a player actually on our website, rightstreamradio.com. You can listen to it there. Or, again, go to our blog, talkradio.com/rightstream show page, and you can check it out there. And, you know, you probably noticed, Lisa, I played their promo, but I'm just so intrigued by what they're doing. They're doing a great job.
I really like that promo, and I haven't had a chance to listen to the show yet, but I knew it was coming on, and I when you played the promo, it reminded me, oh, my gosh, I got to listen to that show. It sounds really, really interesting. It sounds like something. I did go to their website, too. I went and checked that out, too. When you played the promo, I was typing away. So I really think that sounds interesting. So that's really cool.
Yes. They're professional. They've got great segments, you know, moments and oddity. The production values are really good. So, yeah, it's really good. And just one more thing, too, to add. Coming up this Tuesday – Our own Evan Townsend will be joining me, the speculative fiction cantina guy, also a best-selling author. So that's what I just wanted to mention tonight before we went off the air and ask you what you have coming up.
Well, tomorrow is Friday, and the speculative fiction cantina is on with Evan Townsend. He'll be having his show tomorrow at 6. And then Sunday we have an episode of Just Believe. However, I'm having a difficult time confirming my guest. So nobody has seen anything come out yet on the show on Sunday because I can't find her. So it may be another week of me doing the psychic readings myself. But you know what? That was really fun last week when I did it. I had a really good time doing it. So I'll be happy to do that. But one way or the other, we're having psychic readings on Sunday on Just Believe at 7 p.m. So everyone call in. You can start calling in at 6:45 p.m. We start taking calls. Gary is usually there, almost always there. Hopefully we'll be there this week to to screen the calls, screen our callers and everything. So you can start calling in around 6:45 and get a free psychic reading, possibly from a guest, possibly from me. I don't know which way it's going to go, but I'm only giving it a little tonight, and then I'm going to be just rebooking myself. So that's what's going on Just Believe and this week, but it'll be fun. It's live psychic readings. If you want to call in, it's 347-945-7246. That is the number for our show, no matter what show, the Right Stream Networks, the Right Stream Networks call-in number for any questions or comments or for the readings on Sundays is 347-945-7246. So, everyone, I think that's all we've got coming up right now. We're still looking for that Saturday slot. Remember that. Keep that in mind, everyone. If you're just tuning in now, listen to the beginning of the show in the archives, and you'll know what we're talking about. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. I just want, if I may use the word, just say that you do a fabulous job, Lisa, when you're doing the psychic reading. So, either way, it's going to be a great show, so everybody should tune in Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern and get their reading on the air.
Thank you very much. And next week, by the way, on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss, we're going to be having Abigail Rich on, who is a supermodel and a Playboy bunny. So that's going to be an interesting show as well. So I'm excited to. She's really, really sweet, and I've been following her on Twitter, and she's been following me, and she's been following the show, and really cool. So I'm looking forward to that. So Abigail Rich next week, everyone, on Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. So lots going on, lots going on. So keep us tuned in. You go to blogtalkradio.com/rightstream with the W, Right Stream, and you can listen to any of our archive shows, any of the 6 shows we have on right now on the air, and definitely visit rightstreamradio.com as well, and follow us at Rightstream on Twitter and Facebook, Rightstream Radio on Facebook, I think.
Rightstream Radio Network on Facebook.
Network. It's Rightstream Radio Network on Facebook. I always forget that, I always forget that, but I do. Anyway. So I think that's it for tonight, everyone. Thank you all very much for tuning in and listening. And tune in next week again for another episode of Love, Liberty, and Lip Gloss. And tune in Sunday and Tuesday for Just Believe and Right Stream Tuesday with Ari Ann. Talk to you all next week. Thanks for listening. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye, everyone.